the first message, Mr. Tom Randall.
Good afternoon on this beautiful Sabbath day. Have you given up things to become a follower of Christ? Are there things that you may have wanted to do because now you follow Christ, those things are not within your reach? Do you wonder at times how things might have been if only I had, you fill in the blank. Do you wish that you could do things over? Do you look back longingly for the good old days? If you would turn to Philippians 3, verses 5 through 6. Philippians 3, verses 5 through 6. Paul, writing to the Philippians, outlined his heritage. He noted that he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He noted that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a favored son of Jacob, which had adhered themselves to the tribe of Judah after the revolt of Jeroboam. He was a Pharisee, the upper caste of the Judean society, having been taught at the feet of Gamaliel, an eminent doctor of the law, according to Matthew Henry's commentary. He had quite a resume. He had everything going for him. You could say that he was part of the movers and shakers. Continuing in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. What could have been very advantageous to his career and success, according to the standards of his society, he gave up, counted for loss, in order that he could follow Christ. Have you given up things in order to follow Christ? Have you left behind brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, homes and lands, in order to follow Christ? Many of you have. Continuing in verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul, being imprisoned, writing to the Philippians, had suffered the loss of all things, even his own freedom, so that he could be a disciple of Christ. Continuing in verse 9, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Paul was not relying on his righteousness, his self-righteousness, having never broken any of society's laws. He was a pretty good dude, you could say. He was squeaky clean. Yet, he wasn't relying on that to attain salvation. Continuing in verse 9, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. If our trust is in Christ, that his shed blood will cover our sins, we put on Christ. If we accept Christ at baptism, put on Christ, and not take his name in vain, he dwells in us through the Holy Spirit, and we also dwell with him. We put on Christ's righteousness. We cover ourselves with His righteousness, not relying on our own righteousness or deeds. Continuing in verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul gave up the trappings of society in order to know Christ and the power that comes to us through His resurrection, without which we would have no hope for tomorrow. Continuing in verse 11. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Have you suffered for following Christ? Being conformed to His death, Christ suffered, and those that choose to follow Him will also suffer. In today's society, Christians are the most ostracized that there is in the world today. Verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's hope was in the resurrection from the dead, when he would be given a new body that would last for eternity. He was looking forward to a better world. His focus was not on what he could get out of society in which he lived. Continuing in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He knew that perfection would come later, after the resurrection. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul knew that a better future lay ahead for him and all mankind. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul wasn't looking back on how things could have been. He wasn't thinking, if only I had. No, he forsook the past, and so must we, forgetting those things that would have made him successful in his society. He counted them as loss, but rather reaching forward, setting his mind on the things to come, to grasp that which God has laid up in store for him and for us all. We cannot serve two masters, else we will love one and hate the other. We cannot serve God and mammon, the cares of this world. We must devote ourselves to our calling with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole soul. Continuing in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back for whatever reason. Her example is a warning that we need to press forward and not look back. We need to look forward and never wonder what could have been. We need to count all things lost for Christ and press forward, never looking back.